Hey, good morning, Active. Hey, I want to welcome you to Church Online. And if this is your first time joining us for Church Online, I want to say thank you so much for tuning in this morning. And I know it's shelter at home right now, but if you currently don't have a church on the Central Coast or online that you call home, let me be the first to say, welcome home. Well, hey, my name's Adam Agana. I'm the lead pastor here at Active Church. And on behalf of our entire team, I wanted to say thank you so much for spending a few minutes with us this weekend worshiping online. Also, we want to connect with you, and the best way to do that is online. So if you visit our website, myactivechurch.org, we'd love for you to click the connect card. We want to connect with you. We want to know a little bit about you, and we would love to invite you to be a part of what God's doing here at Active Church. Now, during the shelter in place, we know that there's different phases happening right now. I want to let you guys know at Active Church, we are committed to not only following the orders, but we want you to know that we're committed to leading through this season by delivering online content. Now, we know we can't be in physical places together for a few more weeks or months, and so here's what we're going to do. We're going to continue to bring you online content so you can continue to connect with God. And as things open up, as small groups make themselves available in person, we'll phase that in. But for now, we're going to wait to the California law states that we can join again. So we're following those orders. But man, we're praying that it's sooner, not later. So I want you to be patient. Keep tuning in. Keep inviting friends to church because, man, this is the time to do it. Because I know for you, for me, we're probably sitting at home in our pajamas, drinking coffee, and enjoying service. So with that being said, I want to pray for you. Also, if you need help in this season, we have such a generous church that we have provision. We have a storehouse, and we want to help you by meeting your needs. So if you have a need, go to our website, click the request for help, and because of the generosity of your church, we have resources for you to meet your needs during this season. I want to go ahead and pray over our time together. Let's pray this. Father God, thank you for what you're doing in our church. Thank you for what you're doing, God, in our country. I know that there's opposition. I know that there's things happening that we can't control with COVID-19. So Lord, we ask that you would put a stop to what's happening in our world, Lord. Stop this virus, God. I pray that you'd heal our land, that you'd heal our economy, God. I pray for government leaders to be courageous, to lead through this season so that we can get back to reopening in a safe way. I pray, God, that you would bring healing into those hearts that are hurting right now. And God, we thank you. And so we just pray for a healing over our land and over our community, Father. We believe that you're God, that none of this was a surprise to you, that you're in control. And Lord, as always, we pray Ephesians 3, 20 and 21. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we can ask, think, or imagine, according to your power that's at work within us. To him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Today is going to be a lot of fun. It is Mother's Day, and so today, each year, we highlight five communicators, five moms. They're going to share for 5 minutes, and today, I'm joined on platform, and I want to introduce you real quick to who's going to be speaking. Today, we have Sable Mariscal, who's going to come up first, then my wife, Stacy Magana, followed by Nicole Lyons, then Sylvia Jones, and finally, Eileen Lemus. Well, I'm going to go ahead and pray for today's service, and we're going to believe that God is going to speak to us today. So let's pray this as we get ready to hear the word of God. Father, I thank you for these ladies that are going to communicate. God, I thank you that you're a God that is a creator, Lord. You're a God that creates new moments, new things. And Lord, I believe that you're going to speak a new word over our church this morning through these women. I pray, God, that their words would be your words. And Lord, that you would use their story to communicate to people, Lord. We love you so much. We thank you. We're excited to hear today from you through these gals. In Jesus' name, amen.
Good morning, Active Family, and happy Mother's Day to all the mamas out there. I want to thank Pastor Adam and Stacy for allowing us all, these incredible women, a panel of women, to speak up here today. We're excited to tell you a little bit about ourselves and kind of our seasons of life we're going through. My name is Sable. I'm a small business owner of an organic salon. We're trying to stay afloat through this COVID crisis, but God is good, and we know that the Lord will provide. I'm a single mother of two beautiful children, and although at times it's a struggle and I have faced many disappointments, God has given me such a gift of being their mom. Many of you may be walking through disappointments too. How your relationship changed after your marriage. How you're dealing with your children through this quarantine period. Maybe you're dealing with the pain of grief, with the loss of a loved one, or chronic illness. We all experience pain and disappointment. The good news is we have a choice to trust in God's promises or stay stuck in disappointment. Lisa Turkhurst states, "I know I must walk through God's process before I see his promise fulfilled." So trusting the process of pain turns into the promise of praise. Let me say that in another way. Trusting the process reveals the promise. Process reveals promise. Let's dive into Psalm 40, 1 through 3. I waited patiently for the Lord. He turned to me and heard my cry. He lifted me out of the slimy pit, out of the mud, of the mire. He set my feet upon a rock and gave me a firm place to stand. He put a song in my mouth, a hymn of praise to our God. Many will see and fear the Lord and put their trust in him. Now let's unpack that just a little bit. I waited patiently. I trusted the process in the season of disappointment, and I waited patiently for the Lord. He heard my cry. I know he knows what you're going through. Jesus is with you, and he hears you. We must not forget his presence in the midst of the process. He lifted me out of the slimy pit, the mud, and the mire. So many times we are wading through the mud and the mire, the gray areas and the disappointments of life, but he will carry us through and give our feet a firm place to stand. I remember the disappointment and the guilt I experienced becoming a single mother. I felt like all of my dreams of marriage, of my family, of my life were destroyed, and most of all, I felt such disappointment and guilt for pulling my children out of that situation. I left the relationship feeling broken, defeated, and unloved. I was stuck in the mud and the mire, but God was faithful to lift me out and give me a new name. He called me blessed, he called me worthy, and he called me loved. I've been coming to Active Church off and on for a while since it started, and about a year and a half, after some really heavy things hit in my life, I walked into church and I was ready to surrender. It was that day that I walked into a community of believers, of friends, of sisters, and of family. God's promise was fulfilled. I experienced his promise of a new song and a hymn of praise. It brings us out of the depths of life a little more seasoned, more mature, and a little more joyful with a song of delight and thankfulness. Ultimately, our purpose of furthering the kingdom can be seen in how we deal with these disappointments, weaknesses, trials, tribulations, and hardships. 2 Corinthians 12:9-10 says, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest on me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses and insults and hardships and persecutions and difficulties. For then when I am weak, then I am strong." Because our faith and trust of Jesus in the midst of processes, it shines light and testimony back to our Creator. He uses these things to draw us to him if we let him. It comes back to Jesus always. Trusting his process reveals the promise. The action of trust takes our eyes from an inward gaze back to our basic foundation of God. It's what Jesus did on the cross. The promises of new life, the joy in the midst of pain, and eternity with our Father. Let's not be a generation who is stuck in disappointment. Let's be a people that choose to trust God's process. Let's be mothers who are trusting through disappointments and frustrations of raising our children. Spouses who are trusting through all the difficulties and hardships because it will strengthen your marriage. People who are trusting the process of uncertainty with financial hardships and business shutdowns. Choose to hold fast during the process, and the Lord will provide, bless, and walk you through it, regardless of the circumstance. As we close, I just want to say Happy Mother's Day again to all the mamas out there. You are loved, you are appreciated, and you are enough. Thank you. Okay, I've got a question for you. What do you do
when the fight chooses you. What do you do when something shows up at your doorstep and you didn't ask for it? What do you do when the devil drops something off for you to deal with? You didn't ask for it, you didn't directly cause it, and you definitely didn't anticipate it. In June of 2014, I was pregnant with our firstborn son. It was a Friday night, and we were having life group with six of our closest friends barbecuing in the backyard. When all of a sudden, I went into preterm labor. I was immediately rushed to the hospital. I was admitted into labor and delivery, and I spent the next 3 days in the care of doctors with them trying to keep me pregnant. And on Father's Day of 2014, our son went home to be with the Lord. This was one of the longest 3 days of my life. This was one of the hardest fights I ever had to face. This one snuck up on me, and I didn't see it coming. But you see, there's something about the surprise attack that will draw you into the presence of the Lord. There's something about the thing that you didn't see coming that will make you run to that place and bring you to your knees. When you're facing a fight that is bigger than you, you need to remind God of what he's done. Not so that he can remember, but so you can remember. You need to remember that this is not your first fight. This is not the first time you've cried. This is not the first time your heart was broken. This is not the first time you were short of breath. This is a Lord, I do not know what to do. This is a Lord, I do not know how to fix it. I can't control what comes against me, but Lord, you say, do not fear, for I'm with you. Do not be afraid, for I am your God. I will strengthen you, and I will help you. With you, all things are possible. If you will change your focus and stop looking at how big your problem is and start praising him for how good he is, you will win the fight. Help is on the way. Maybe you can relate. Maybe you got that phone call or that text message, that moment in time where something just snuck up on you. We've all had that moment. You don't have time to deal with it tomorrow. You don't have time to read a book. You don't have time to sleep on it. In fact, you don't have time to phone five of your closest friends. This is, I can't believe it's happening moment. This is, I can't believe it's, if this is real yet moment. You see, you have to fight with a focus. This is what the Lord says to you in 2 Chronicles 20:15. Do not be afraid or discouraged because of the vast army, for the battle is not yours. Let me say that again. The battle is not yours. So get out of your head and don't try to figure this out on your own, because you can't. You can't figure this one out on your own. And if you try to fight it with your own strength and you don't let the power of God move through you and let the Holy Spirit direct you, you're going to lose the fight. Because you're fighting on the wrong side. You're fighting on the side that you can see, that you can touch, that you can feel, but it's not against flesh and blood. It's spiritual. If the fight is too big, it doesn't belong to you. If the fight is too big, you've got to give it back to God. For example, we say, "The battle is yours, Lord," but we stress like it's ours. We say, "The battle is yours, Lord," but we worry like it's ours. Then we spend all of our time stressing and all of our time worrying when we could have been worshiping. The battle is not yours. Give it back to God and let him do his job. He's better at it anyway. How do you give it back? By looking beyond yourself and looking within you to know that greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. God is fighting for you, and with his help, you get his miracles, you get his wisdom, you get his provision if you worship. Worship your way through it.
Wow, that was powerful. Thank you, Adam and Stacy, such great leadership. It's an honor to be here. Hello, everyone tuning in. My name's Nicole Lyons. My husband, Brandon, and I serve on the Next Steps team. We have two little kiddos under the age of 5, and we've been married for about 11 years. As an introvert, I've been really digging this shelter in place. But I have to tell you, I broke down last week trying to balance work and being home with the kids more, and I watched some reality TV. I did. In one of the episodes, the group had to do, you know, these beautiful people, they had to do this bonding activity. And the purpose of it was to write down words on paper that were holding them back from intimate relationships, from that growth. The words that they had written down were loneliness, painful past, brokenness, fear, pride. After everyone had written down their words, they spoke them out loud to each other. Then my favorite part came. They hung them up, and they stood a few feet back. They were given a large stick, and at the same time, they all ran with their battle cry and stuck that hardship, or that hang up, I should say. Little did they know, as contestants, that they were tapping into a biblical truth. You have to reveal what needs to be healed in order to build a healthy relationship. I'll say it again. You got to reveal what needs to be healed. My moment came when I called my little girl crazy. The words left my mouth, and when I heard her little voice say, "I'm not crazy," that's when my light bulb went off. My words now held generational impact. When I was single, I shed unwanted qualities with the help of coworkers and roommates. In my marriage, I worked on my selfishness, but my kids, they were like a mirror. Not just any mirror, but one of those mirrors at the nice hotels that have the magnification on them that light up everything you have to pluck. And I got a lot of hair. But my daughter's response was that high-definition mirror. I don't know what it is for you. I don't know if you've had broken relationships that you wanted to restore, but you can't bring yourself to forgive. I don't know if you have spending habits. I don't know. But me, I struggle with that too, and my husband is glad that TJ Maxx is closed right now. I miss it a lot. But the thing is, we all want to have things, or we all have things that we want to change, but sometimes it seems impossible. But thankfully, as my girls have talked about and we will be talking about, we serve a God that specializes in the impossible. Lately, God's been speaking to me in the Bible about a verse in James chapter 5, verse 16. It says, "Therefore, make it your habit to confess your sins to one another and pray for one another so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective." What I loved about that verse and what it's been speaking on me is that we can only heal if we turn to one another and to God. And what it is that confession is what leads to transformation. A friend and I have been accountability partners for the last couple months. We both wrote down areas of growth, we both wrote down areas we wanted to grow and see results. A few of my areas are that I want to be my husband's number one fan. I want to encourage my kids in their uniquely God-given talents. I want to find fulfillment in the word and not my purchases. These weekly checkups have been extremely healing. Why? Because I get to confess out loud what I'm struggling with someone else. I get to pause and reflect. And I get to pray with her. And when we have victories, we get to celebrate them together because nobody likes a party of one. Cake for one, that's another thing. And I love cake. But what does your future like? What do you want your children to say about you? I know I want my children to say that I'm a prayer warrior, that I had the resources to give generously, and that I said yes more than I said no. Let's be a people. We don't want to be secret. We want to be a people that don't let our secrets make us sick and keep us sick. We want to find freedom to help others, and we want to get past our hurts, our mistakes, and our insecurities. On this Mother's Day, I urge you to lean into accountability. Find the healing God has for you and seek that person to help you have that strength to search and the courage to change. Thank you.
What an honor it is to be able to share a little bit of what's on my heart today. Happy Mother's Day to all you mamas. What you guys do does not go unnoticed. And I believe that every day our jewels on our heavenly crowns keep getting bigger. Clearly, I am hoping there are bejeweled crowns in heaven. If not, Jesus, create. So the title of my message this morning is, what would you say is your turning point to something that seems dead in your life? Let's rewind. I won't say how many years, so you don't guess my age. But I was 18. I was dating. Pregnancy followed. And so then I decided to get married, all within 6 months. People tell you marriage can be hard or that it can be a fairy tale or all the above. I chose to believe that I could do it. I was married for 12 years. Due to some ties in the marriage, it wasn't until 2 years later that I was officially divorced. So 14 years later, what I thought was supposed to be a fairy tale ended up being a world of devastation, brokenness, unworthiness, and failure. In those 14 years of marriage, I became a mother to two beautiful girls who at that time were 8 and 2 years old. But can I be real with you? In that season, I felt so dead inside. I felt like my world had come to a complete halt. I had so many crying nights. At times, I couldn't even get out of bed. I was believing the lies of the enemy. Can anyone relate? After not some great decisions, disappointments, loneliness, I knew during that season I needed God to create new conditions and circumstances in my life. Just like the scripture says in Genesis chapter 1, verse 1 to 3, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. Now the darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the water. I was feeling formless, and I was feeling empty. Darkness seemed to be all that I could see, but the Spirit of God hovered over me just like he did the water. I then knew there had to be a renewing of my heart that would then bring about restoration. Restore means to bring back to full capacity, to take back what has been lost. I then began to forgive myself. I began to forgive others in my life because I understood it was needed. It was not only liberating for myself, but for my children. I knew my story wasn't over, and it didn't stop there. I was trusting God. So let's fast forward. I dated again, and I fell in love. During the process, I have to say I was so afraid. And the lies of the enemy began to overwhelm me. This guy I was praying for was amazing, but the thoughts began to surface up. Why me? I'm not good enough. I have two kids. Who wants to deal with that? Mind you, it didn't help that the guy I was dating was known not to want to date anybody with kids. Thanks, Josh. I will never forget the night I cried out to God and heard him gently speak to me. Why not you? You are enough. Long story short, I believed that I was enough. And I said that if it was a God thing, that God would soften up the heart of the man who is now my husband of almost 4 years. My sweet husband, I'm sure he longed for just a wife. But God blessed him with a family of five. Tell me that's not God's favor. My husband and I often giggle that God's plans are so different than ours. We co-parent our 17-year-old, our 11-year-old, and God was so gracious to bless us with our 2-year-old. Oh, man, is it crazy in our house. But can I tell you, when things seem dead in your life, God brings things to life and orchestrates every little detail. I can truly say I am living out God's promises. When things seem dead in your life, there needs to be a decisive change to be able to create, renew, and restore what once seemed dead. God still has a plan for you, to prosper you, to give you hope. Stay encouraged today, and remember, your story is not yet over.
Good morning, Active Church. Happy Mother's Day to all the beautiful mamas watching. Today I want to share with you on the topic of the birth of something new. Isaiah 43, verse 18 through 19 says, "Remember not the former things, nor consider the things of old. Behold, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs forth. Do you not perceive it? I will make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert." I'm going to share with you a little bit of my story as a first-time mom. I have a growing 16-month-old at home. I can hardly believe it. I remember laboring to bring him earthside for just under 48 hours. Praise God for epidural. It was all bliss when he finally joined us until about a week postpartum. That is when the adrenaline wore off, the sleep deprivation kicked in, coupled with the hormonal shifts and the physiological changes, I began to spiral into postpartum depression. I remember feeling suddenly paralyzed, as if somehow motherhood had crippled me. I couldn't fathom carrying on with life the way I had known it. I couldn't even imagine leaving the safety and comfort of home. My mind was flooded with I will nevers, thoughts of my hopes and dreams, just feeling so out of reach at the moment. I didn't know what was happening then, but in time I realized that I was actually in labor again. This time the hours were indefinite, and there was no epidural to numb the pain. I was in labor to give birth to the mother within me. The mother within me was born in silence and solitude during that first year. I labored for her in the lonely nights when I was up nursing my son for what seemed like endless hours. Then in the frustration when nursing wasn't enough to nourish him and I felt like a failure, I labored past the waves of emotion that depression sent my way. I labored as I mourned my inability to pull myself together the way everyone else did. Why things happen the way they did, I still don't know. But I do know that God doesn't waste a season just because it's difficult. He uses our pain for his glory. God takes those moments of weakness, of wanting to go back to former things, and he grows us. He matures us. He produces a new thing. He's going to make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. James chapter 1, verse 2 through 4 says, "Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature, complete, not lacking anything." Following God can be so counterintuitive. When I wanted nothing more than to turn a blind eye to the things that I lacked and all of my weaknesses, he wanted me to stare them in the face. You see, he wanted me to know him as provider. On my own, I lack many things, but in him, I don't lack anything. When we lock arms with God through the labor process, the trials of birthing something new, we are filled with the peace of knowing that these trials are actually built into our lives with a purpose. Our hardships are no surprise to God. Psalm 139:16 says, "Like an open book, you watched me grow from conception to birth. All the stages of my life were spread out before you. The days of my life all prepared before I'd even lived one day." Life is lived in stages. There is labor and there is birth. I think it's human nature to mourn an easier season when we're in the middle of a difficult one. But I restate verse 18 of Isaiah 43. "Remember not the former things." In Christ, what's coming is so much better than what's been. I say that confidently because that's the character of the God we serve, the God who sent his son, Jesus. Jesus is who our trials, our weaknesses, our insecurities should always turn us back to. The cross is no small thing. The worst of us was nailed on the cross, and we received a beautiful exchange. It is where redemption was birthed, where salvation was birthed. I'll end with Isaiah 61:3. "To all who mourn in Israel, he will give a crown of beauty for ashes, a joyous blessing instead of mourning, festive praise instead of despair. In their righteousness, they will be like great oaks that the Lord has planted for his own glory. Amen.
All right. Hey, I want us to give a round of applause to those ladies, man. You guys did such a great job, man. I'm so excited because I know for many of us, we can go into church every single weekend and we look around and we forget that there's hundreds of testimonies just like these that you heard today. I want to encourage you this morning. Maybe you're watching this online and maybe it's not even Sunday. Maybe it's Tuesday and you're scrolling through Facebook or wherever. I want to let you know something, that God's still got a plan for your life. The common denominator through every single one of these stories was that God, there was something that was going on that each of these women didn't feel like they could handle on their own. They had reached an impasse where they felt like they couldn't move forward. Have you ever been there? We read, Sable brought up a verse where Paul's writing, and we read in Corinthians about Paul having this thorn in his flesh. And he can't get past it. We don't know what it was. We don't know most scholars believe it was something physical, that he had a physical debilitation, but we don't know for sure. But what we do know is that Scripture says that three times in his life he begged God to take away the thorn in his flesh. Three times he pleaded, like seasons of prayer. He was up against opposition in his life that he could not control. But in that moment, he puts pen to paper, and he says this, that the Lord spoke to him, says, Paul, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. So therefore, I boast in my weaknesses all the more so that Christ may, his power may rest on me. I want to encourage you this morning, as you're going through this season, as we're looking at everything kind of changing right now, and we want to get back to normal, I want you to press into God this season, and I want you to ask God to give you his peace, to give you his grace. His grace is sufficient for you if and only if you press into his presence. And the only way you can do that, the only way that you can ultimately have that presence, is through a personal relationship with Jesus. You know, I've heard it said, God doesn't have grandkids. What do I mean by that? Well, you say, well, I grew up in church. You know, my parents, they took me to church. Well, guess what? You have to make God your heavenly Father. It's not something you inherit from your parents. You have to make a personal decision to put your trust in Jesus. And if you haven't done that, I want to give you a chance to do that today on this Mother's Day. Would you bow your heads with me as we close in prayer today? Let's pray. Father God, thank you so much for this day. Thank you for these women, these mothers that communicated your truth with such just power and just their hearts just came through, Lord. I thank you for what you're doing and all the women that are on platform with me today. But God, right now, I want to speak to those that don't know you, maybe that are still going, their testimony is still happening, and you brought them here to Active Church Online so that they might hear the message of hope found in Jesus. If that's you, and you're here this morning, and you're tuning in, and you don't have hope, and you're still going through the storm, and you don't know where to turn to, I want you to put your hope in Jesus right now. If that's you, I want to lead you in a prayer. I want to pray for you. I want to help you trust Jesus. I want to help you put your trust in Jesus. This is a simple prayer. It's a salvation prayer, and I want you to pray it. If you want to put your trust in Jesus right now, simply say this with me. Repeat after me. Say it out loud. Say, Heavenly Father, I trust you. God, I surrender my life to you. Today, I give my life to you. I put my trust in Jesus. I trust you, God, and today, I follow you. Thank you for saving me. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. Empower me to live for you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, hey, if you made that your prayer this morning, I want to say congratulations. You just made the best decision of your life. If you did that, I want to make sure you know that you can get connected. We want to connect with you. We want to pray with you. Even if you've, man, even if you said that prayer a long time ago and you're just going through something or you need prayer, we would love to connect with you. Your next step is to go onto our website and click on that connect card. We can pray with you. There's a connect card. You can fill in your prayer request. We can get to know you. We want to get connected with you and help you in your journey with Christ. We're also, right now, we're going to continue to worship through tithes and offerings. For those of you that can give in this season, you know, the Bible talks about stewardship. Stewardship is just being entrusted with what you have, and knowing that everything that we have is ultimately God's. And so I want to encourage you to steward the gifts that you have, to honor God with your giving if you can. We know that honoring God doesn't just mean giving with our finances, but it is one way that God uses. He gives us this opportunity to give back to him. And so we're going to pray over our offering right now. We're going to believe that God is going to continue to use this ministry to bring hope and healing to so many people all across our community. So I'm going to pray over the offering now. And God, thank you for those that give today. I pray, God, that you would, Lord, bless them, Lord, as they give. And for those that are hurting, I pray that they would know they can go to our website. They can request help. And so, God, help people to humble themselves. If they need help, God, let them know that their church is ready to meet their needs. But God, bless those that give today. I pray that you'd make more out of this offering than it would be otherwise. We give back to you what's already yours. We thank you in Jesus' name. Well, church family, what a great, great Sunday. Joined up here by five incredible women. Happy Mother's Day to you. And we'll see you guys here back next week at 9:15 for our series, Faith Over Feelings. Have a great day.